Oh, precious, loving Father, we thank you for this great day that you've given us. We thank you for the treasure of your word that we're about to receive from you, Father. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak your word today boldly, to speak exactly what you would have us to say, and for the anointing of ears, that we can have ears to hear and receive, spiritual ears, Lord, that this word can go down in our spirits and bring life and bring health and bring restoration. Yes. We thank you, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives everywhere we go and everything we do. Thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit, the teacher of the church, the anointing, Lord, that he brings to each of us in our various lives. Thank you, Father, as we can sit before your throne this morning and just receive from you. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
This
is my Bible.
I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, never, never. I'll never be the same, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That sounds better every time I say that, doesn't it? You know? But I've been thinking about it more and more, how, you know, we see a person when they minister, pastor, whoever it may be, or when we need something, we go up to get prayed for, you know, for somebody to pray for us, we see the person, but that's not who's doing the work.
That's right.
You know, we need to be seeing the Holy Spirit right there.
Yes.
Because actually when we come forward, we're actually not coming to the person. We're really not coming to the front of a church. We're coming before the throne of God.
That's right.
And I think about that every time that that somebody asks to pray me to pray for them, or I see somebody come up, or in a meeting where you're watching on television where they're coming up.
Yes.
They're coming up to the throne of God.
Yes, amen.
And if we could just get that in our spirit, that
that's
I'm
right.
not coming to a man.
Amen.
I'm coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm coming to the throne of God,
yes.
Himself. And I'm asking him for this.
Yes.
If we can get beyond the person and see the Lord, you know, I tell you what, there's no ends to what can happen
Amen.
In our lives. It's that way when somebody's bringing the word. The simplest person that doesn't know anything about the Lord, he just got born again, and you start talking about the Lord, you can hear something, that revelation from that person, because the Lord can speak.
Yes.
Can speak through that person right then. You know, I learned a lot from John Wayne, believe it or not. You know, I like old movies, and I see a lot in movies. I'll be just sitting there watching a movie, all of a sudden something will jump up. And, well, you know, I bet art does that too, don't it? Some old thing that you're seeing. But I was looking at today's Psalm. This is not where we're going, but Psalm 138, verses 1 and 1 through 2. I'm going to go ahead and go there anyways. I just love this, because this is another thing we need to see. When they grab a hold of a promise. In Psalm 138, David is in this place of prayer. He's talking to the Lord. I love watching David pray. And it actually, when you think of Psalms, a lot of people don't know it, but Psalms are, the book of Psalms are actually songs.
Yes.
It's the songs that they sang. It's they were always set to music, and they were part of their worship. They meant something. And David especially, I can see him out sitting on that tree with the sheep below him with his, you know, singing these psalms, you know, whatever stage of life. It doesn't say what stage, but this is one of the psalms, David. I will confess and praise you. Now, who's he talking to?
God.
He's talking to the Lord. He's in that place. Like I said, when he came down, he's in that place. It's the Lord and I. If we can get more of that kind of communion with God, there's no end to what God can do in and through us, because we're in that place of communion with him. I will confess and praise you, O God, with my whole heart. Another key. Before the gods, small g, will I sing praises to you. And you think, what's he going to the gods for? That's a small g. He's saying, before, in the presence of these false gods, I will praise you. Okay, see, you see, if we don't stop there and look at what he's saying, in the midst of all of this false religions and all of these false gods, I will stand in the middle of that and praise you, the God. That's what he's saying here. Or in the midst of the darkest circumstances of your life, the midst when everything's coming against you, you will stand and praise to God, praise the Lord. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth and faithfulness. For you have exalted above all else your name and your word. And you have magnified your word above all your name.
Amen.
How important is the word to us? It says right here that he has exalted his own word above his name. When we go to the front, that's what I was going to, right? There's more in there, but that's the part I was aiming at. The word says he has magnified his word above his name. In other words, he will fulfill whatever his word says at the cost of himself.
Amen.
Can we rely on the promise of God then?
Yes.
When God promises something, he means business with it.
Yes.
He's already settled his part in it.
Amen.
And how's that got to do with where we're at? That's got everything to do with right standing with God.
Yes.
Because he has said that.
Hallelujah.
He said, if you'll receive the sacrifice of my son, I will see to it and back up your right standing with me.
Hallelujah.
I think that is so awesome. This scripture here just kind of sticks out to me this week as I read that. He magnifies, I always said he exalted his name above his word above his name. I was wrong. I looked for it and looked for it and looked for it. I couldn't find it. Till Art, I mentioned it one time, Art said, magnified. That's the word I was looking for. He magnified his word above his name. Now that says something to us. Can we rely on a promise?
Yes.
Most certainly we can rely on God's promises. He's a God and he cannot lie. He is the God. And that's what David is saying. I will stand on your word and your word alone. In the past few weeks we've been talking about the difference between righteousness and right standing with God, which is what righteousness is, and holiness. We're leading into a new series, which is going to be based on who Jesus is, who we are, and our position in that, which is going to be great. I love it. I've done it before. That's where we're going. It's kind of a transition period. But in order to understand who Jesus is and our relationship to him, who God is and our relationship to him, in order to understand our position, the place where we stand and occupy as Christians today, and in order to understand who we are, we must understand right standing. Mm-hmm. If we don't understand righteousness or right standing with God, we will not understand that. Okay? That already erased our little mom's little drawing here, but remember last week there was a drawing here, kind of a timeline, had the cross in the middle. Okay? If we don't understand what happened pre-cross and post-cross, the difference between the two, the difference between righteousness before the cross and righteousness after the cross, don't understand that, we'll wind up right back living our Christian life today based on earning righteousness. And you can't earn that. It's not possible. It had to be paid for by a righteous man.
Amen.
There's so many areas I've been debating for a week on whether I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it anyways. Okay? Because God will tell me not to if I don't. I've already asked him to. Okay? There are songs that we sing every single service. Not just us. Okay? As Christians. We sing every single service. They are in the Bible. They are scriptural. But they are pre-cross.
Yes.
We sang two of them last week. And I can guarantee you very few people noticed it. Because we don't understand this point that I'm making. Right standing with God and the difference between what happened after the cross, what was purchased, and what happened pre-cross. Like I said last week, there's very few people that even know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not part of the New Testament. They don't know that. It's pre-cross. See, everything Jesus did was before he died. Okay?
Yeah.
So in timeline, I'm talking timeline, a lot of the things that Jesus brought up and said, his promises are pre-cross. and they're addressed to the Jewish nation because that's where he was sent. And we don't understand these things because it's not taught in the depths of what is really there. That's why it's so important to understand right standing with God. What causes me to come into that place of right standing with him? How did I get there? How do I get there? How do I get in a place where I can commune with him?
Yeah.
I instantly recognize these songs, but I still catch myself a lot of time praying pre-cross. And we kind of do it automatically. The songs are great, they sound great, and I'm not off on a song thing. What I'm trying to say is we need to be more aware of what the timeline is. If I grab a hold of a promise out of the Old Testament, by his stripes I was healed. Pre-cross. Looking forward to the cross. Something that's going to be done. If I look at it post-cross, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes ye were healed.
Past
and present tense. Okay? And we don't pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we'll run right back to Isaiah, which it says that, and it's accurate. But that's not where we are. Okay? Blood had to be shed for that to change. A lot of the things that we grab a hold of when we pray is we're pre-cross. And we're asking God to do something that he's already paid for and done. It's that way with right standing with God. We try to live our life and try to earn that place where we become good enough. We try to become right with God. We try to clean ourselves up, and we can't.
That's right.
They couldn't pre-cross either. They had to have blood of bulls and goats. Art's been teaching on Hebrews. That's what he's been talking about. In Hebrews chapter 7, he just keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. But that's what he's trying to hammer at, not Art, but that's what, when you read it, that's what that scripture in Hebrews 7 is doing. It just keeps repeating the same thing. He's trying to hammer home the fact that this is pre-cross. Where's the difference here between the sacrifices of blood of bulls and goats to make me righteous, and it doesn't, it just kind of covers me up a little bit so I can exist a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and until it's all God giving us something so that we can exist,
yes.
so we can walk right with him in a limited way. That's pre-cross,
mm-hmm.
okay? That's the right standing that was there before the cross. The right standing where we live, it's paid for.
Yes.
We cannot earn it. We simply receive.
Amen.
And we don't understand that principle. And if you listen to the way righteousness is taught, they're actually teaching holiness.
That's right.
Aren't they? Holiness and righteousness are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hammering on this because we need to know this. We have to know it in order to go forward with and be who we are in Christ. We have to understand the difference. And it's very simple. The cross.
Amen.
There's things that changed on that cross. It they were paid for. Up to that point, it was just the best God could do to get man in a position where he could actually do something for him. To give man something he could choose.
Yes.
Because without man choosing something, man could not come over where God could do something for him. The responsibilities God had then towards man were different pre-cross than they are post-cross. What he does is different. When I'm approaching something from God, if you listen to the way we pray, we're trying to talk him into something. Aren't we? I know this and I still catch myself doing it. Trying to talk him into doing something for me. And if I listen to it and look at Scripture and pre-cross, post-cross, I find out that he's already did it.
Yeah.
He can't pay more because it paid off.
Yes.
Are you going to go to the bank and pay your house off the second time? I'm not. And that's basically what we're asking God to do. God, you didn't spend enough money on me, and my problem is so big that what you did wasn't good enough. It didn't go far enough. God, can you please pay just a little bit more and pay my debt off? That's what we're doing, and we don't know we're doing it, but that's what we're doing. We're saying, God, please do this over again. Do something more than what you did. Because we don't understand that little dividing line. We don't understand pre-cross and post-cross. We get just enough knowledge to be dangerous because we don't spend any time in here. And if we would spend time in here, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit will be teaching us these things a little at a time. We rely on the pastor or our favorite song. Don't we? How many Christians are walking through life today with a song knowledge of the Word?
That's right.
We do it all the time, and the songs sound good. To some degree, they're accurate with Scripture, but they're pre-cross. I'm not going to tell you which ones they were yesterday, last Sunday, because I want you to be listening for that. I'll give you a little hint. If I'm asking for the fire to fall, I'm wasting my time.
That's right.
It already did.
Yeah. Yep.
Holy Spirit, move and come and fall on us. He can't. He's living here.
Right.
You see, now pre-cross, he could do that. That's what happened. Post-cross, he didn't. It's already been done. So he cannot fall again. He already fell. He cannot bring the same fire he already brought because it's already here. So we need to be aware of these things. What do I do when those songs come up? I don't sing them. Or I change the words. See, and we don't see this because we don't understand the cross. We go before that to get our Christianity. And that's not where we are. And I'm not down on anybody. I'm not down on the song. I'm not down on anything. I only brought this up for one reason, one reason only, is to make us aware to hear what we're saying. Otherwise, I've been praying hard about this all week. Do I say this or don't I say it? Because we don't know, okay? I know Art does. I know he does the same thing I do. He either doesn't sing or he prays. That's one good thing about tongues. You can sit there and sing in tongues like the Holy Spirit in a song. And there's nothing wrong with making it a heart's desire for that to be there. But be accurate with the word. Be aware. Pre-cross, post-cross. Has it been paid for? Hasn't it been paid for? Where am I in this? The fire cannot fall if it already has. He's not going anywhere. He's right here. He's here. He's in me. He came in me when I got born again. And from that time forward, he's releasing what he does in my life from inside me. To a Christian, healing does not come from the outside. It comes from the inside. Now, miracles come from the outside, but miracles are not God's best. Now, miracle is never God's best. They're great for us, but God's best is for us to get a hold of his word, take his word, and say, Father, your word says, I believe your word. I trust your word. I have faith in it. Now, that's God's best, because he can act on that anywhere, anytime, any place for anyone. But a miracle is not his best. A miracle, you have to actually position yourself for it, and maybe it will, maybe it won't. But the word always works.
Yes.
Because it's settled there at the cross. They're paid for. Okay? And we have to be aware of these things, because it's not taught enough. I'm sorry. And we blame our churches, but it's not really their fault either, because we should have a daily relationship with the Lord on our own.
Yes.
In our own Bible, studying his word, listening to the voice of the Spirit, asking him for revelation. Teach me where I am and what's going on in my life. Help me here, Lord. And he will. Because if you're born again, that teacher is living in you.
Yes.
When you ask that, then your spirit connects with his spirit, connects with your spirit, and now that instead of information coming from the outside in, it's coming from the inside up.
Right.
That's the Holy Spirit getting hold of what he already knows, because he's God, you know. He knows. And now, because I'm asking, he's bringing it up into my spirit, and my spirit brings it into my head. That's why you can understand it in the spirit and not know it in the natural. That's why you can read the Bible and not understand it in your head, but you can understand it in your heart. Okay? We got to be more God inside-minded.
Yes.
You know, and if I'm singing a song, and I'm not on songs again, but if I'm singing a song and I'm asking for something to be done outside here, then I'm not accurate. Because he's here. Okay? That's why Romans 8:11 says that if that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then that self same spirit will quicken your short lived mortal body. Where's he at? He says he's in you. Okay? He's in you. He's dwelling in you. So as a Christian, your life comes from within. Your knowledge comes from within. Your peace comes from within. Your joy comes from within. The fire for revival comes from within. And we had one of those songs, ask for God to stir us up again. He can't. He cannot stir us up again. The Bible says in, I believe it's Timothy or Thessalonians.
Timothy.
It says, Timothy, we stir ourselves up. He can't. Now, pre-cross, that's what had to happen. He had to move on people certain ways, and he could come up on someone, but he wasn't in them. He could not come in them. After the cross, now he lives in us. We are the living temple of God. He lives here. Okay? So if he's living inside of me, where does my answer come from? A lot of our prayers are to God, and he's way out there somewhere. And if the phone line's not up, he's not going to hear me. That's the mentality. I've got to talk God into hearing me. If I'm accurate on Scripture, scripturally accurate when I pray, 1 John 5:14 and 15. I start my prayer here every time. I've said this before, but some are getting a CD and the internet that don't know this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure. How much stronger can you get of a statement than that? We are sure, that's what the Amplified says, that if we ask anything, how much is anything?
Anything.
Okay. If we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens and hears us. And if, notice the word if is conditional, and if, since we positively know that if he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of him. So where's my problem? Do I have to talk God into this? Not according to this. The responsibility is on me.
Amen.
God's already said here what he would do. He said, if you ask anything according to my will, I'll hear you. So, how do I get him to hear me? I find out what his will is. Well, that's my problem. I don't know. Then you're not in the Word. Because the Word spells out what his will is. If you find a promise in there concerning anything, and they're in there, there's something like 7,000, one guy said. I haven't counted them. But there's tons of promises in there dealing with everything possible in life. They're in there. If I find the promise dealing with that, and I can keep my mind on pre-cross, post-cross, am I looking in the New Testament? Am I looking in the New Covenant? Post-cross. Okay? I look in there, and it says it right there. I give an example of healing a while ago. Pre-cross, looking forward to the cross. Post-cross, 1 Peter 2:24, ye were healed by the stripes of Jesus. Were, looking back at the cross. The cross is the dividing line. In everything we do, that's where it's at. If I grab a hold of that promise, and I make it my anchor, because God said it. He said it. Nobody else said it. When I look at that cross, what does it say? It specifically says, not just salvation, but when he hung on the cross, by his stripes, even before the cross, he was beat up, right? By the stripes, by the beating he took, he paid for my healing. Pre-cross, he hadn't died yet. Pre-cross, looking forward, not done yet. Okay? After the cross, we're already done, right? Paid for. He doesn't have to pay for my healing again, so quit asking him to do it for you. That's not his job now. What is his job then? His job is to back up what I activate.
Yes.
Every promise that's after the cross, he doesn't do any other additional work concerning that. It's paid for. It's a finished work. He doesn't go and pay the mortgage again. See, and our mentality is, he's got to go do this for me, and he doesn't. I have to line up with what he said and activate it. Now, once activated, he backs that and carries it out. And that's the difference between pre-cross and post-cross. Have I made this too complicated?
Well, it's pretty simple.
I'm hammering on it because it's a mentality in the church that is hindering us so much,
yes,
as Christians in our daily walk with God in taking that city out there. The same way when we pray for our government or pray for anybody, what's the word say about it? If I pray his word, it's a finished deal.
Amen.
It's done as far as God is concerned. He's not doing anything additional, but he's backing up once I activate it. Once I stand on what he said, now my job is to remain on what he said.
Yes.
And what happens is our mind gets in the way because we're not seeing anything. We're not seeing a change. But the process has begun.
Yes.
The seed's in the ground. And now, as long as I stand on that word, what he said, I don't have to ask him anymore for what he's already did. I've positioned myself. I'm standing here on what he said. Now, it's his job to back up what he said. And in my heart and my spirit, now I see those angels out there hearkening to the voice of his word. A voiced word is a spoken word. But I speak his promise. They're out there peddling around all over the place, bringing this thing to pass, moving things around, changing things around, creating circumstances for my path to walk right into that promise. But my job is to stay on the path, which is the Word. That's my anchor. When my brain pops up and says, that's not working, nothing's happening, I get right back over on the Word, because God cannot lie. He said it was mine if I prayed his will. And I did. It also says that he heard me. I can use these scriptures right here for an anchor, a solid anchor that Satan cannot get around. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago when I ministered, and I mentioned it here several times. The only way, Satan has one single way of keeping a promise from happening, just one. The only hope he has. If you'll base, on what I said here, whatever you're asking for, on the promise, what he said, and that becomes your anchor, and you've agreed with it, and you're keeping your love walk up in your life and doing what you can to keep your life right with him, you're doing that. Satan has one way. He's got to deceive you into coming off that path. He has to get you. He has to move you. He can't move God. He can't change something that's already paid for. He can't bind anything up or stop anything from happening. He's got to move you. You have to make the change for him to defeat the promise. Otherwise, it's coming to pass.
Yep.
Just as sure as Satan's saddle is going to be in that pit, just as sure as Jesus is coming back, just as sure as there was a time when the cross had to happen and he was going there. Just as sure. It is rock solid. If he said it, then he'll do it and he'll back it. My part really is easy. As long as I can stay on his word. That's why I got to know his word. I've got to. That's why I've got to be. I've got to concentrate on the fact of what God said. Is it pre-cross or post-cross? Always go there. Go right there. Find out who you are in Christ, but spend your time in the epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, etc. That's who you are now. That's all pre-cross or post-cross. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Pre-cross.
Pre-cross. Yeah, pre-cross. Before and after. You look at what's happened before. Do those promises still apply? Some of them, yes. Some of them have not changed at all. Some of them have been fulfilled and no longer apply. Study what it is. Find out what it is. And I give you the example of healing because that's the most obvious. You can actually see in the way they're written that there's a difference in the two if you look at it. But there's many others that are pre or post, before or after. Find out. Do some homework. How big is our want to? Mm-hmm. You know, if we want this changed, then how far am I willing to go with it? If I don't do anything, what's working? Something's working. And if I don't do anything at all, and Satan has full reign, and I can guarantee you will be deceived. He's a master at it. He'll deceive you. And this thing with right standing with God has been a big deception in the church for many, many years. And unless we find out and concentrate on that cross right there, the dividing line, and we look at that and compare before and after based on that, unless we do that in our songs and everything else, we're going to be deceived. Uh-huh. A song is something that, I'm not hammering on songs, but a song is something that bypasses your mind and goes right to your spirit.
Yes.
It goes right into your spirit. And as it goes into your spirit now is feeding your mind. Okay? So you'll find yourself, because of the tune, you'll find yourself singing that thing. And it's not right. It's not accurate. The problem with most songwriters is they're not word people. They're songwriters. And they'll change the words so it rhymes or matches the tune, but they're not right with Scripture. Now, some of them are. So just listen to what it's saying. Is it something that's been paid for already? Or is it not? Do that when you pray. Okay, how am I going to pray here? Am I going to ask God to do something? I'm going to ask Him to do something. Has it already been done? Because I'm the activator. I'm the umpire. Whatever God does, He does it through me. He does it with my involvement. That happened even before the cross. You find all of the miracles that Jesus did all the way through the Bible. Every time a woman issued blood is a good one. He said, "Daughter, thy faith has healed you."
Yeah.
Time and time again, you see Him pointing to their faith, what they did. It's always been that way. That's why the law had to come into place. It's because in order for God to do something, man had to position himself for it to work. That's never changed. We are creatures of choice. We've been given that. With that choice, we left God in the form of Adam. With choice, Adam betrayed God and left. So everybody that followed him left. We're prisoners of what Adam did. But someone came along that was sin free, a righteous man, which is Jesus, the only one that could, and paid that debt off.
Hallelujah.
Am I going to pay it again? It's in the bank, but I activate the payment. Okay? He paid for it, but if I don't activate it and approve the payment, then I'm going to pay for it. And I can't. What's that mean? I'm going to hell till the debt's paid.
Yep.
which won't be ever.
I can't pay it. That's why hell is eternal. Only a righteous, sin-free man could pay the debt. There's only one, Jesus. That's what right standing is. The debt has been paid. I enter right standing when I receive Him as my Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. Okay? I've activated the payment. Now it flows from this account to that one. And my debt's paid.
Hallelujah.
Satan can't do a thing about it. All of his cohorts put together can't stop that action because it gets paid. Now, what was paid for? That's what I got to find out. And it's everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Yes.
First Peter again. Everything that pertains to life and godliness was paid for.
Hallelujah.
Now his part is to back up the payment once I activate it. Mm-hmm. Every promise in this Bible is a, like in a contract, you have different provisions. Mark knows what I'm talking about as an auto salesman. Every contract has provisions in it. These promises are provisions.
Yes.
That's what they are. Those promises have to do with certain things. So when I, by faith and trust in God, activate the provision, it's mine.
Amen.
Now Satan's only... I know I got to go, but I want to get this home in my thinking as well as yours. When I activate the promise, the provision's there.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean I have it in my hands yet. The provision's there. Okay? Now the process has started to bring the provision to me to finalize it. And as long as I stay with the promise, the conditions... there, nothing can stop it from happening. Because I serve an honorable God and an honest God, a God that means what He says. As long as I stay anchored in the Word, and my part is to battle this brain. Because that's where Satan will aim his target at. Deception comes to the brain. That's why it's dangerous to be a person that has to analyze everything through an understanding. Because you can't understand this with the mind. It's understood with the heart. And this is the battleground. You'll try to reason, I don't see nothing yet. How do I know that's true? Because it says it. And what is His will? It's spelled out. Every promise in here is will to you.
That's correct.
And if I concentrate on the promise to me, then He will back that. But if I base the promise to me on what's happening in Mark's life, then it won't work. A farmer never asks how long it's going to take for that seed to come up. He knows it'll be there. And that's the way the seed is the Word. That's what the Bible teaches. The seed is the Word. We sow the seed in due course, in due season. It will be there. If I stay. See, that's the if that's involved. I am involved in everything God does. If I want healing, if I want prosperity, if I want peace and rest, if I want forgiveness, if I want these things to work, then I got to position myself for them to work. And they will always be on the promise. Amen. Every time. So what He's saying here, if you ask according to My will, the will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I will go to what the Word says, I automatically know His will. If you go down to the point of origin, as I talk about in fire all the time, or the proximate cause, He's looking at me.
Yeah.
There's an image in God's heart of me. And that's what He wants. He's after relationship. And that's why He paid the price ahead of time, so that I could come into relationship or right standing, which is what we've been talking about. Now, I choose to walk a holy life based on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As I submit my love walk to Him, as I walk His love walk, I've walked a holy life. Mm-hmm. And that's His desire. And then everything else around me just kind of falls into place. Well, Father, we thank You for this time in the Word today. We thank You so much for teaching us, Lord. Yes, thank You for the meat. Father, this is meat, and we need it, Lord. And yes, I thank You for teaching us precept upon precept. point upon point. Thank you for your living word, which is your will, Father. Teach us in our individual lives to follow after you with all of our heart, Lord, and become that image that you have in your heart of who we are.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father, that you're busy knitting our hearts together. You're knitting the churches in Rolla
yes.
together, Father. We specifically pray for Vineyard Christian Center today and Pastor Matt Forrest and for Chuck Whitmire and his 25-year celebration there at First Assembly here in
yes,
Rolla today as they celebrate 25 years of ministry for him. Father, we just celebrate with them today. We pray over those churches and all the churches here that, Lord, you're knitting our hearts not only in the churches together, but knitting each other together. And we thank you for it. Thank you for our services at Lie Ahead, for a special anointing on Pastor Ron. Thank you that Barb's here today.
Yes.
For health and healing springing forth in her life. And we just thank you for the many things that you
yes,
do for us every day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.